This morning's lesson, we looked at the subject of fatherhood. And we brought the lesson to a close in the conclusion by highlighting the four things that are needed within the life of a father. We talked about how a father's role is to love their families, following God's examples. We then showed how that the father provides for the needs of their families, both physical as well as spiritual and emotional. We then covered how that a father guides their families in serving the Lord. And then this morning, we also covered how God protects their families. And what I want to do with this evening's lesson is to stay in the same subject matter, but we're going to show three things that fathers must do in order, or fathers must be, if you would, in order to accomplish and fulfill these roles. And for the little fun of it, I decided to title the lesson, Dad Power. I don't do that very often, and you'll probably know why just by seeing the title of the lesson. But something a little bit different. There are three attributes that fathers must have in order for them to be able to fulfill the roles that God would have of them. The first thing we're going to look at is that a father is determined. There's got to be a determination within the heart of the father in order to be able to truly accomplish the things that God has assigned him to do. And there are two principles we're going to cover under this particular category. The first principle is do not grow weary principle. There are two passages in the New Testament I want to cover. And neither of these passages deal directly with the home, but yet there's a very powerful statement in each of them that fathers, as well as all Christians in general, must remember. The Apostle Paul, when he writes to the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 through 9, the context of this, he's talking about effectively doing good. Kind of simple, a little oversimplification, but that's kind of the point. But he says in verse 8, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Now, I want to notice the phrase, do not grow weary, he says. Do not grow weary while doing good. Now, in the context here, there's a specific good to which he is referencing. But still, the admonition is don't grow weary. He says something very similar over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again, the context is a little bit different, but yet the message, the point here is still the same. Notice with me in 2 Thessalonians 3, let's look there in verse 13. It's a very simple phrase. It's divided up in a Bible and assigned to one verse. He says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." So this is a very powerful point. Don't grow weary. We must continue to persevere in all things within our life in serving our Heavenly Father. But when we talk about the rearing of our children, the caring for our family, being the provider, being the protector, being the one who loves our family and the one that guides our family, we must never grow weary with that. Even after they leave home, you still can serve as a guide to your family. There are times where you may want to step up and correct the family members who have left the household. But we must never grow weary. The role which God has given fathers, it is a good role. He says, don't grow weary while doing good. So fathers, when we are being the best that God would have us to be, or at least striving to be what God would have us to be, there are going to be challenging times. There will be difficult times. But we must never grow weary. It is a good thing that we do. Providing for our family, guiding our family, loving our family and protecting our family, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. Paul says, don't grow weary while doing good. And there are times where you, in any aspect of life as a Christian, we may face moments where we wonder, is it worth it? But that's when we say, yes, it is. We're not going to stop. We're not going to grow weary. So it's a very simple concept. Fathers, we must be determined. And in order to do that, we must abide by the do not grow weary principle. There's another principle that we could bring into this aspect of the lesson. And that takes us over to Hebrews. It's run with endurance principle. Let's think about this. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I want you to notice a simple statement, or I should say really admonition is the better terminology here. In writing to this brethren here, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I called this the run with endurance principle. In order to run with endurance, notice what he says there in verse 1. We need to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Paul oftentimes talks about our life as Christians as being a race. And if you choose to get married, that becomes part of the race. If you choose to bring children into this world, that's part of the race. And whatever your life brings, whatever choices you make, they become part of who you are and what you have to carry. And in the course of this, there are certain decisions that we may make that weight us down. And we must be willing to lay that weight aside so that we can run with endurance, so that we can be to our families as the Lord has told us, so that we can be providers, so that we can guide our families, so that we can protect them, so that we can love them. We must set aside those things that would hinder us and the sin that so easily besets us. There have been so many families destroyed by sin. So many families. And as fathers, it's our responsibility to be protectors of the family, to give proper guidance to the family. But if we allow ourselves to be laden down by the weights of sin, then we fail in our responsibility. So we recognize what's holding us back. We recognize what's hindering me from being the father that God would have me to be, and we set that aside. And then we push forward. But what else does he say in the text there? And this will apply in any area of our lives as Christians, even as mothers as well and wives. But we're focusing on fathers. And so he says, after saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Not simply run, but he says, run with endurance. Run what? The race that is set before us. Once you become a Christian, you're not crossing the finish line. You're just beginning. It's a new birth. You're starting brand new. And so now you've embarked upon a journey that will take you to the end of your life. But you have to run it with endurance. And fathers, the same thing. We must run this race with endurance. This is how we maintain our determination. This is how we hold true. Then, verse 2, let's add to that. We've talked about lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There will be a lot of things that distract us. A lot of things, or at least will try to distract us. We need to always look to Jesus. Fathers, we set the pattern. We set the example. We are the ones who guides our family. We protect our families. We provide for our families. We love our families. And the only way we can truly do this as successfully as God would have us to is keep our sight on Jesus. Let Him and His will for us and His Word be that which attracts us and draws us, and we don't allow ourselves to look away. Context a little bit different, but Peter did something that I think was probably amazing. He says, if it's you, Lord, command me to come down and I'll walk on the water with you. It's a very unique experience to walk on the water, unless you're one of those spiders that go across, whatever the bugs are. It's a unique experience. And imagine Peter having stepped off the boat into that water or on the water. And then what happened when he saw the storms around and he looked away from Jesus? He sank. What a message for all of God's followers. Look unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our salvation. Look unto Jesus, who for the cross that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Where's Jesus at? He says, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So where are we looking towards? Let's look towards eternity in heaven. Look unto Jesus so that we can run this race with endurance. Keep the determination in place to be the guide, the protector, the lover. And what was the other one? Well, there's a fourth one. It'll hit me here in just a minute. We guide. Oh, love. I said that. Guide, love, protect, provide. That's it. Keep these things in the forefront of our mind by looking towards unto Jesus, and we will be able to keep the determination to fulfill these responsibilities. But let's move on to the next one. A father is also astute. Right, what does astute mean? Well, it's a good question. Astute means simply a keen discernment, a sharpness, being highly observant. Merriam-Webster's Online Dictionary says having or showing shrewdness and an ability to notice and understand things clearly, mentally sharp or clever. And he continues. There's been a series of sitcoms over the last 20, 30 years that make some fathers look like bumbling idiots. And in some ways have lowered the expectation of fatherhood. But fathers, we have been given a responsibility by God that requires us to be keenly discerning the things that are around our family, to exercise wisdom and judgment, and sitting there watching over our family and being aware of what comes in and what goes out of our family. We can't sit back on the sidelines and do nothing and just let the world go by. We must be astute, especially when we talk about protecting our families and we talk about providing for our families. We're talking about the guidance for our families. We need to be astute in these matters. We need to be keenly observing what is going on and show the shrewdness within our lives in working with and protecting our families. Now, how do we do this? Well, the principle for this one is get knowledge and get wisdom. This turns over to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. Let's turn over there for a moment. Proverbs chapter 4, let's read beginning in verse 5, and let's read down through verse 9. Get wisdom and get knowledge. Solomon writes the following here. And we're jumping a little bit into this section, but he says in verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. And the her is talking about the wisdom he's talking about, the knowledge, the understanding. He says, do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Get wisdom, get understanding. Get wisdom, get knowledge. He's talking about the Word of God and the wisdom and the discernment and the understanding that comes when we sit down and we partake of the Word of God and we allow it to enter into our hearts and our minds and we allow it to shape our very lives. It tells mothers how to mother, tells wives how to wife, tells husbands how to husband, and it tells fathers how to father. It tells children of God how to serve Him. It tells children how to be children towards their parents, to love them and respect them and obey them. But fathers, it's on you to lead your family in this direction. So get wisdom, get understanding, get knowledge, get discernment. Turn over to the first chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 1. Let's read down through verse 7. He says, the proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Now, fathers, I think we may have said something like this before. You're not going to get this your first day out. You know, Arthel III, in a short period of time here, is going to be dropped right into that situation. Now, the good thing is, for the first 6 months, it's all on Cali. You can try. I saw someone. I'm not trying to do this too far. Rhonda saw someone, I thought on her. She saw someone correct their baby. Baby was a newborn, lying there crying. No, no, shh, need to be quiet. Infants will have a little bit of grace. You got to give it to them. But he knows what I mean, though. As he gets older, and his father's already warned him, because he had to raise Arthel III, it's going to require more wisdom, more knowledge, and understanding. And every father goes through that. Every father goes through that. And there's no easy pill where you can take it and instantly have all the knowledge. You've got to study the Word of God. And you've got to pray. You know, James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. I don't see anything that would limit that to being applied to everything else in life but a father. Pray for wisdom. Go to Heavenly Father. Turn to His Word. Pray for the wisdom. I think about King Solomon here for just a moment. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. So the Lord comes up to King Solomon, and Solomon tells the Lord what he would like to do as far as building a house for the Lord, a place, a temple for the Lord to live. Solomon thinking about these things, and these things were pleasing unto the Lord. So in chapter 3 of 1 Kings, let's start there in verse 7. Actually, go back to verse 6 there. And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you've given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Think about a first-time father. You could probably say the same thing. Right now, I feel overwhelmed. I don't know what I am doing. He says, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, I know the context is different than what we're talking about. But fathers, you have been given a great kingdom to lead. Even if you have just one child within your life, you have the greatest of kingdoms that you are in charge of. So pray to God. Pray to God for wisdom and understanding, and let that be fulfilled through His Word. Turn to His Word. Even when you have the most difficult of decisions, even during those times, you turn to God. Pray for wisdom. Pray for knowledge. And then let yourself come to His Word and study it. Sometimes you'll learn these lessons from other people. You may face situations that you're studying the Scriptures and say, I've studied the Scriptures all the way through 5 times and I'm not yet seeing it. Find an older Christian who's gone through this and seek their counsel, but always let it come back to what does His Word say. As a matter of fact, Solomon would highly commend going to someone of wise counsel and wise understanding. So fathers, in order to be astute in fulfilling your roles that God has given you, role as a lover, role as a provider, role as one who guides the family and one that protects the family, turn to God, and astuteness will allow you to be watchful and aware. Astuteness will allow you to recognize dangers that are facing your families. And this astuteness will cause you to pay attention to the state of your family. If a father is checked out for a while, the family is going to suffer. Fathers, you are sitting at the gate of the house. You are guarding your household. You are watching over them. Be observant of everything that goes on and be there for them. Be astute in this endeavor. So let's go to the third thing and the final thing. A father is determined. A father is astute. And a father is dedicated. Turn with me first and foremost over to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. So Moses, by the time we get to this point, Moses has died, and the leadership of Israel has now been given over to Joshua. And the Lord, in the conversation here, the Lord commands Joshua, and let's start reading actually in verse 6. Says to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I have sworn to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Did Joshua believe that? Was Joshua dedicated to the Lord? We'll now turn to Joshua chapter 24. We come to the end of the book of Joshua. We're coming to the final days of Joshua's life upon this earth. And he says to them, let's start in verse 14. "Now therefore fear the Lord," Joshua says, "serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Is Joshua dedicated to the Lord? Yes. Was Joshua dedicated to leading the children of Israel in serving the Lord? Had always been. So much so that he tells them, now you need to make the decision. You need to choose. They say, yeah, we'll do it. And he says, you won't be able to. Says, yes, we will. And he says, your words serve as a witness against you. What does Shane call that? A Shane paraphrase? That's a John paraphrase, I guess. But that's the way the rest of that goes. Joshua was dedicated to the Lord himself, and then he was dedicated to making certain that the people of Israel follow the Lord. Fathers, that's the way we need to be. We need to be first and foremost dedicated unto the Lord. You know, we're not going to lead our families right unless we ourselves are dedicated to the Lord. There's a fellow told me years ago, he was talking about his daughters. And he says it was so important to him that his daughters be saved that he would be willing to lose his life, to lose his soul, if it meant his daughters could be saved. And I thought that was odd. It wasn't the case point like Jesus who died upon the cross, I'll give my life to the children. No, he even talked about losing his own soul. And I didn't quite figure that out. Because if you want your children to be saved, you're not going to lose your soul. You must first save your soul. You must first dedicate yourself, fathers, to serving the Lord. Then you'll be properly equipped to lead your family. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Set of instructions that he gave to the children of Israel in regards to how they taught the law of God to their children. Fathers, great lesson for us today. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Fathers, we need to have this attitude regarding God's word within our own lives, personally, first and foremost. Then we can have this attitude within the lives of our children, within our family structure, where we make the determination to be dedicated to the Lord in all areas of our lives. Then we can do as God would have us to do. We talked about this morning. We'll review it one more time. Fathers are to love their families. Fathers are to provide for their families. Fathers are to guide their families. And fathers are to protect their families. But the only way that we can do that is by being determined to accomplish this task and being astute so that we know how to look at it, so that we know what to watch for and how we are to structure and behave within our family and lead them and guide them. And we need to be dedicated to the Lord. Neat little acronym, isn't it? But it's what we need. It's what our families need. They need us as fathers to be dads, to be willing to be there and be their leader, to be their guide, to be their provider, and to be their protectors no matter what. Always watch over their souls and lead them to eternity with God in heaven. If you're not a Christian, you need to recognize that God in heaven, he's ready to be your father. If you're willing to obey the gospel's call into salvation, if you're willing to be born again, as we see within the scriptures, then God will be your heavenly father. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter had told the people to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we go on and we read later that those who obeyed the gospel's call, the Lord added them to the church. They became a part of God's family. And in Romans 8 explains to us as Christians the benefits of being a part of that family where we are the children of God through the spirit of adoption. And if you're not a Christian, you can become one this evening. If you're ready to make that decision to be buried with Christ through baptism, a decision based upon your conviction of heart that he is the Son of God and your determination to repent of your sins and to make the public confession before those present, then you can be buried, obeying the command of Christ, be buried in baptism to rise to walk in the newness of life. If you are a Christian, you've not been living faithfully, then it's time for you to repent and turn back to the Lord tonight. If you're ready now to obey the gospel's call, come forward as we stand and as we sing.